First section, we study why be involved with the volunteer work. Now, we go into the second section. Come and follow me. If we really want to be engaged in volunteer work, what should we do? The next step is follow Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Then Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Jesus commanded the Simon and the Andrew, his brother, come and follow me. Follow Jesus to be the fisher of men. Follow Jesus Christ to fulfill his great commission. And then, in the point 3, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, before Jesus' ascension, he commanded the disciple, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Before Jesus commanded them to go, Jesus requested them to come. And it took 3.5 years, or more than 3 years, between come and go. So what does that mean? It's good that we have determination to follow Jesus Christ, to serve him. But before we take action to serve him, we have to come and draw ourselves near to him and follow his footsteps and learn from him. It takes time. Usually, if we look into the saints in the Bible, regardless of Moses, or Elijah, or Paul, or Peter, before they really work for God, they all spend a period of time to withdraw themselves and to spend time with God, which means they have to spend a time to prepare themselves to be ready to serve God. So before we take action to be a volunteer worker, let's come to follow Jesus Christ. And I would like to use a three section to discuss this topic. The first section is to be motivated by Jesus Christ. The second section is to be transformed by Jesus Christ. The third section is to be equipped by Jesus Christ. And then we go into the next stage. Go. Take action. To do the real work. First, we would like to think about motivation. Be motivated. There are many reasons can make a person doing something. Especially in this very commercialized generation. Monetary compensation is a main cause to move a person to do something. So usually when a person have a bear more responsibility, will be a person being compensated more. Suppose there's a job and nobody want to do it. Very simple. You just raise the compensation double, and then triple, and it, definitely somebody is going to do it. I recall in 1989, I met a brother in Nigeria from Korea. Oh. And how come the brother went to Korea? He was sent by a constructing company called Daewoo. And at that time, we went to a town called Wari. We stayed in his home. And we had a very long conversation to talk with him. How come you volunteer yourself to become a worker here? Because he worked for a construction company in Nigeria. He was permitted to go back home twice, and each time 2 weeks. Besides that, he lived a single life, 11 months in Nigeria. I look into his life condition, living condition. Yes, there is an air condition, but all day long, beside work, or confine himself in a room, and afraid of robbery, so all the door, window, have iron bar. You look from the outside, it seems he is imprisoned. So I talked with him, and he said that because nobody wants to go to Nigeria, so the government just raised the pay. So the pay he received compared the pay in Nigeria compared with the pay in Korea, he will receive triple of the pay. And because of the pay, he go to work in there. So in 1980s, if you look into the street in Nigeria, at that time it's in Port Harcourt, if you see a so-called Caucasian, there are three type of person. The first type of person is businessman. They go there for profit. The second type of person is come from government. They were sent there with no choice. The third type of person is come from charity organization, either the missionary or the medical group. So you see the Caucasian, it almost you can never find the next category, three. So if we want to work in Africa, first, we serve as a volunteer. The church pay us no financial compensation. Then why should I go? Motivation is very important. There are a few other ways to motivate a person too. For example, to make a person have a feeling of self-achievement, self-realization. That's one of the ways you can promote a person to do something. We know there is a Chinese church in America, and they try to set up a library system. It's a computer to set up a library system. And also the church library have a lot of books. they only scan the book, and you can check out the book. Very convenient system. One brother had the work done within 2 weeks. And how the church mobilized the members? They give the member a very high praise in front of everybody. Praise the brother for his capability, for his reputation in the world. And then praise the brother for his loving God in front of everybody. And so because of this kind of praise given to that kind of brother, so he spent day and night. In 2 weeks, he set up the system. So this is one of the ways to motivate a person to do something. Just in front of the public, that the person being aware about his accomplishment, that the person has feeling of self-realization, and then the person is going to do it. The other way around is curiosity. Curiosity can motivate a person to do something. So you can see in the church volunteer work, in the beginning, a lot of people join the volunteer work. I'm talking about the local church basis. In the beginning, a lot of people joined. But after a period of time, we join the church work, you know what the reality is. For example, if you want to do the evangelical work in the nursing home, conversation house. First, every Sunday, you have to get up early. The second, you go to the conversation home. There's nothing interesting there. You look at a lot of older people. Some are yelling, some are smelling, you need the extra passion, compassionate. And then when you talk to them, they can understand, they can respond very well. You need patience. So in the beginning, when a local church started to have the ministry in a conversation home, nursing home, you can see a lot of people join. But after the time passed, a period of time, you can see one by one drop. Maybe they have different reasons, but I think one of the reasons is they already know it, and it requires certain type of sacrifice, and they think, I cannot do it. So they drop. So curiosity can move a person to do something. I want to go to Africa to take a look what it really like. Curiosity. But if you go there, what Africa looks like. A very, it's not exactly the same, but a very similar comparison is just turn the power off, then you become Africa. Right? You have no telephone, no nothing, right? It become Africa. Shut down the running water. And dig a well, something like that. Or open the window, a lot of mosquito coming. Right? Curiosity can also motivate a person to do something. But this is not the right way we join the volunteer work. Neither because of self-realization, neither because of monetary compensation. But if we lack three of any one of the three, you still want to do it, it must be really be motivated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to mention. The love of God motivates us to do something. Let's see 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit. Let me see. Verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. John talk about his own experience. We love him. We, referring to the disciple, including John. We love him. We love Jesus Christ because he first loved us. So to be involved with volunteer work requires a lot of sacrifice. This sacrifice is not easy to bear sometimes. And the reason we still want to do it is because we love him. That's the only reason. We love God. We love Jesus Christ. So we are willing to sacrifice for him, for his work. So this should be the first and most important reason we are involving with the missionary work. But if we want to involve with this work in a long-term basis, then we have to come to the next sentence, because he first loved us. We have the feeling, a very deep feeling about the love of Jesus Christ. And if we really have the sense, feel that Jesus loved me so much, even though I do everything I can do, I still cannot repay once in a million, then we have that kind of sense of indebted about God's love, then I think we will continue to do it until one day we cannot do it, because we are indebted by his love. Other than this reason, I think maybe we cannot last too long in this volunteer work. So we love him because he loves us. In John chapter 12, let's see John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 32. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Jesus Christ said, if I am lifted up from the earth. What does that mean? Verse 33. This he says, signifying by what death he would die, which means crucifixion. So verse 32, if I am lifted up from the earth, means if I am crucified, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ will draw all nations to Jesus Christ, to him. So the manifestation of God's love is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus' love to us is manifested in his crucifixion. So the motivation, God motivates us to love him. I think the most important reason God motivates us is the crucifixion. So in the book of Romans, chapter 5, talk about God loves us. Paul was moved by the Holy Spirit. He talked about God loves us. He mentioned while we are still a sinner, he died for us. By the same token, in the first John, when John talked about God is love, and he talked about God loves us, the same conclusion, he talked about crucifixion. Almost the two persons, when they talk about the love of God, they reach into the same conclusion, because he died for us. So if we can ever feel the love of Jesus Christ in crucifixion, we will be able to draw ourselves near to him. We will be able to follow him forever. Because the love of God, control us or constrain us. So even though in knowledge, we know God loves us in knowledge, but in our heart, do we really have been moved by the love of God? It's different. It's different. So that is the reason Peter's mentioned in the first and second Peter. Not because you don't know it, but because I want to remind you always. Just like parents, we always tell our children same thing. But how come we have to tell them the same thing? Because they know it, but usually easy to forget it. So we have to remind them. The same thing intellectually or in knowledge, we know God loves us. But always we have to separate ourselves from the world and have a quiet moment, try to meditate the love of God, try to think about the love of God. Or we have to think about how much God has done for us in our life. If we more we think about this, the more we'll be motivated by God's love. And when we serve God, our motivation will always in our heart. We always think about, if you use a piece of paper, and you draw a line in the middle, in the right part, you just write what God has done to me, what has God given to me. You can list a long, long list. But in the left side, you write, what have I done for God? You can see, we've been doing for the Lord, so limited. So the more we count the blessing of God, the more we feel, the God is loved us so much, then we cannot repay on our whole life. So continue counting the blessing of God will always motivate us to do something in return to Him. And also, Holy Spirit will pour down the love of God into our heart. So when a person is hesitating in doing something for the Lord, if the person continue to pray and been filled by the Holy Spirit, once the person filled by the Holy Spirit, the love of God fill upon the person, you're going to see the person is going to do it willingly. Is going to do it willingly. Because the love of God motivates the person. If we look into the book of Acts, chapter 2, they received the Holy Spirit, and they were all filled by the Holy Spirit. When they were filled by the Holy Spirit, you look into their life, they share everything in common. How come they were able to share everything in common? Because they are filled by the love of God. And they were able to sell everything and contribute to the Lord. How come they were able to do it? Because the Holy Spirit filled the love of God in their heart. So they were able to do it. So crucifixion, think about the crucifixion and being filled by the Holy Spirit will always motivate us to love Him in return. And John chapter 3, verse 16, this is a very famous verse. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave all His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, when the Bible says, so loved the world, then He mentioned He gave His only begotten Son, which is Jesus Christ. And then who believe in Him shall not perish, shall be saved. So when we be motivated by this love, and we will be able to do the work for God, and we will be able to go to the newly developed area and to share this love with them. The next example, point two. Example of Peter. John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lamb. Before Jesus Christ commissioned Peter to feed my lamb, Jesus had to ask him a question, and only Peter himself can answer. Nobody can answer on behalf of Peter. Do you love me? And then the next words, more than this. The Bible never say what is this. Maybe everybody have different interpretation. More than this. But one thing is true is this is anything besides Jesus. Anything besides Jesus himself. More than this. And this can also referring to the fish they caught. So, do you love me more than this? You know that there was a rich man come to follow Jesus and ask Jesus, what should we do to have eternal life? But when Jesus say, you have to keep the commandment, the young man say, I have kept the commandment ever since I was young. But the next question, Jesus challenged him to sell everything you have and distribute the poor. And you are going to have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And then that young man left Jesus with worrisome. Yes, he loved Jesus, but when Jesus, do you love me more than this? I think he was not able to answer yes, so he left Jesus. How come before Jesus commissioned Peter to feed my sheep, he had to ask, do you love me? From later on, the ministry of Peter, you can understand it required a lot of sacrifice. In the book of Acts, you can see Peter has gone through a lot of persecution, a lot of sacrifice. And without the love of God to sustain him, he was not able to follow Jesus. So Jesus Christ say, when I've been lifted up, when I'm being crucified, I will draw all nations to me. I will use my love to attract a lot of people to me. Example of Peter, right? He has determination to follow Jesus. I want to follow you to die for you. But he denied Jesus for 3 times. So before Peter really answered the question, I love you, you know I love you, he denied Jesus 3 times. But before Jesus' ascension, he answered 3 times, I love you. And Jesus gave him 3 times, you tend my sheep. So when we go to the missional work, volunteer work, it will not be as comfortable as in Western society. Then one thing you have to keep on asking yourself, why do I come here? Why do I suffer here? But the bottom line you can answer is because I love Jesus Christ. Because I love the people here. That is the reason I come here. If we come here because of this reason, we will never complain, because we come because of love. If it is any motivation other than this, maybe in our bottom of heart, we will feel a complaint in our heart. So the example of Peter, do you love me? This is the answer we have to give by ourselves. If our answer is the same with Peter, then I think we will be able to follow the footstep of Peter and to sacrifice for the Lord to accomplish his entrustment. This is a very difficult question we have to answer, because the love of God is infinite. Nobody can ever to say, I understand the love of God 100%. I have totally been moved by the love of God. The more we understand God, the more we understand his love. The closer we are together with Jesus, the more we will be attracted by him, by his love. So his love actually is profound. It's a mystery. It requires spiritual wisdom. It requires spiritual insight. It requires the fullness of Holy Spirit. But this is a fundamental motivation of our service to him. The second one is the example of Paul. Peter and Paul actually are two major characters in the book of Acts. Let's see 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 13 to 15. Okay, verse 14. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. If we look into what Paul mentioned, it's for God and for you. For you, referring to the person he was in touch. The person he want to save. The person he want to help them to grow spiritually. But he say, if we are beside ourselves, in the Chinese translation is what, out of mind or crazy, right? It is for God. So Paul was considered out of his own mind by a lot of people. In the book of Acts, you can see when Paul was under trial, the ruler actually was a friend of Paul and asked Paul, why are you so out of your mind, crazy? Is that because of your knowledge? You have so great knowledge? Because if we look into Paul's life, it seems whatever he has been doing for the Lord, we can understand why he was able to do it. But he knew why he was able to do it, because of God. If we look into another verse to help us understand it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. Let us imagine, right now, if there's a company have a job opening, there's a hiring, and the job description is mentioned in verse 23 onwards. You say, I labor more abundant in sweeps above major, in prison more frequently, in death often. Verse 24. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Verse 25. 3 times I was beaten with rock. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in deep. Verse 26. In a journey often I in peril of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentile, in perils in the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea. Verse 27. In wearing and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. 28. Beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Verse 29. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is made to stumble? and I do not burn with indignation. So Paul suffered physically and also encountered great pressure mentally. If we give a job description from verse 22 to verse 29, how much financial compensation are you required of? How much you are required to take a job? Is 100K? Is that enough? I think this kind of job will lose a life. 100K is not enough. Or even 1 million, right? But for Paul, he did it free. Free. He even make a tent to support himself and do it. So a lot of people consider Paul as a person crazy, out of his mind. If you look into the way he suffered, all right, the way he sacrificed, and then the compensation he received, you just cannot understand why he did it. But in the bottom of his heart, he knew why he did it. It is because of God, because the love of God constrained me. The love of God so much, so abundant, control me. So I have nothing, no choice but to do it. So today, the fundamental reason for us to do the work of God is the love of God who motivates us. And this kind of motivation sometimes is up and sometimes is down. So when we are serving God, we have to keep on being motivated by God. So we have to be close to Jesus Christ all the time, that his love always move our heart. Then we will always enjoy the servitude to him. We will always feel our service to our suffering for him is to repay his love. We are going to do it continuously if we continue to be motivated by him. But sometimes if we are doing God's work and this kind of feeling gradually decline, then the heavy burden in our heart, in our work, in our shoulder, we suffer more than others, but the love of God motivates us less, then in our heart we start to have a different feeling. So be motivated not on one-time business, that's a daily business. Every day be motivated by God, by God's love. So this is the first point. Come to follow Jesus Christ to be motivated by him. By himself, by his crucifixion, by his profound love. Okay. The second one. Be transformed. Be transformed. How come to serve God as a volunteer work is so important to be transformed? It's critical important. Because it will make a lot of difference if we are transformed. Our servitude in the eyes of God will be different if we are transformed. Before going to point one, let us see Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 and verse 2. Okay. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by mercy of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Paul did not say, I commend you. Paul said, I beseech you. I beg you. By the mercy of God, not by authority, I commend you. I beg you by the mercy of God. That means the love of God, the mercy of God move you. That you present your body as a living sacrifice. So the volunteer work actually is to present our body as a living sacrifice. This kind of service is holy. Holy means different. This kind of service is different from your work in the society. Your service to the Lord is holy. It belongs to God, so it's holy. And this is acceptable to God. You present your body a living sacrifice. And which is your reasonable service? Verse 1 is talk about the work itself. Present our body as a living sacrifice. Then verse 2 is talk about a certain kind of transformation has to be done before we really serve Him. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may provide what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if our volunteer service want to be good and acceptable and perfect in the eyes of God, then we need to be transformed. If we are conformed to the world, then our service cannot be good and acceptable and perfect in the eyes of God. So to be transformed is very important. Verse 2, the first sentence, to be conformed to the world. The most difficult part is we are living the life in the world. And then we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ in the world too. So while we are living our life in the world has certain way to manage the business. But when we serve God, God has His own way to serve Him. So there's a difference between serving God and working in the society. So to be transformed means we don't use the attitude or motivation in the world to serve God. We need to have another set of value, another set of attitude, another set of motivation to serve God, which means being transformed. And it takes time. And it requires certain type of self-discipline so that we can serve Him, a living sacrifice. Now we come back to B1. The first thing that we need to be transformed is a concept about ourselves. When we serve God, we are not the master of ourselves anymore. If you look into the book of Isaiah, right? Before the angel fallen, he mentioned about I. In the 2-3 verses, he mentioned about 5-6 times I. Because human being nowadays emphasize very much on I. Person's self-ego are very strong. If we cannot transfer the authority over ourselves to Jesus Christ, it seems very difficult for us to serve Him. Shall we look into Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How are you cut down to the ground, who wakened the nations? Verse 13. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend it into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the star of God. I also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther side of the earth. Verse 14. I will ascend above the height of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depth of the pit. You look into verse 13 and 14. How many eyes? Five eyes. Before the fallen angel. Before he fall. Five eyes. So to serve God, we have to deny ourselves. Because we have to recognize we right now become a vessel. We become a vessel. Since we become a vessel, so we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to the one who created us, the potter, who made the vessel. He has authority over us. And this is a so-called a spiritual transformation. Give up our authority over to the Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ himself set an example for us to follow. John chapter 14. I think this is the most beautiful service Jesus Christ has set example for us to follow. The most beautiful service. John chapter 14. Now verse 12. Verse 10, John chapter 14, verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I spoke to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. So Jesus Christ said, the Father who dwells in me does his own work. In Chinese translation, say does his own work. So Jesus Christ, he considered himself only an instrument. It is God who does his own work in me, in terms of Jesus Christ. So whatever Jesus Christ speak, that because God want him to speak. Whatever Jesus Christ do, that's because God wants him to do. Whatever Jesus Christ wants to do, that's for the purpose of God's glory. So he served as an instrument and God worked in him. So this is the highest goal of our service to him. We are only a vessel. And then God work inside us. We try to understand what is God's will, and we try to do according his will. Whatever we do according his will. We try not to rely on our own power, and we try to rely on God's power, because we are only a vessel. So when we understand the vessel, there are a few things related to this issue. In the First Timothy, talk about in a rich man's house, there are different kind of vessels, right? One is gold, the other one is silver, the other one is wood, and the last one is clay. So make of different material. So we are earthly vessel. Paul mentioned about we are earthly vessel, which means actually in the eyes of God, according to the book Isaiah, we are nothing. We are just like a dust. So in original we don't have any value at all. because we are the earthly vessel, because of God's grace. So today we can be used by Him. And since this is an earthly vessel, the earthly vessel is very fragile, easy to be broken. So if a vessel falling down on the ground and the vessel broken, so we as a vessel, we cannot do too much if we don't rely on God. So this is the understanding of a vessel. And also, what we mentioned it before, we have the owner of the vessel, it's Jesus Christ Himself. So whatever we want to do, we have to ask a fundamental question: is this the will of God? If I do this, can God be pleased? This is a fundamental question, because we have to serve like a vessel. And we look into the life of Paul, or life of Peter, or life of Moses. Really, we can have this kind of feeling that in their whole life, they are so humble, they never go beyond the line God has set for them. They never cross the boundary, because they know that there is a master in control of them. If we put our own shoes into Moses, God gave him so much power. He used a staff to strike the Red Sea, and the Red Sea will separate. He used a staff to strike on the rock, and the rock will flow the water. With so great power, and Moses, the whole life, it seems he never crossed the boundary God set for him. He was able to follow whatever God instructed him, because he realized he was a vessel, only a vessel. This is a very important self-discipline, and this is very difficult. If we look into our early church history, Barnabazang, right? Barnabazang originally is a person, a worker with great power. So in the southern part of China, you can see a lot of churches have been established by God through his work. When he served, the longer he served, you can see that seems the feeling of a vessel gradually reduced. That kind of feeling, I'm a vessel, God is using me, I have to submit to God, that kind of feeling gradually disappear. Once this kind of feeling, I'm a vessel, this kind of feeling disappear, they become, I'm a master. And once we become feeling I'm a master, that was the beginning of the end of our service to the Lord. To be a vessel, that kind of concept, really we need to be transformed. From a master to become a vessel. And how can we always feel being a vessel? Chapter 14, verse 10. John chapter 14, verse 10, the beginning. Chapter 14, verse 10. I am in my Father, and the Father in me. The reason Jesus always feel he is God is work in him, is because he and God has very intimate relationship. God was in me, I am in God. So if we keep a very close relationship with God, we'll always have this kind of feeling, I'm a vessel. So we have to spend time and every day and pray to be close with God. When God is deep inside us, we always have a feeling we have a power, a master. So spiritual cultivation is very important. Once we reduce the spiritual cultivation, then this kind of feeling being a vessel will disappear. Once we emphasize more spiritual cultivation, then we always have the master dwell in us, who will be in control of us. So this is the first spiritual transformation. Try to be a vessel. Honor the authority of God over us. Respect God's will and ask Him to use us.